One of the things that he's pioneered, really, in rediscovering was something called hyperdimensional physics. And that, to me, was the key to figuring this whole thing out, because basically that theory is that everything is connected to something higher, to a higher spatial dimension. And that's where all energy comes from, and that's where basically everything that's in this physical universe is manifested, is from someplace above us. And all that detail of all that information, you know, came out. It was his initial book, The Monuments of Mars. He talked about hyperdimensional physics. We really went over it very extensively in Dark Mission. And then, you know, again, I cover it again with even some new insights and some new inputs in The Choice. And so what I kind of have that other people don't have is I can back up all this stuff that we've all believed in, this God force, the aura, the energy we feel around us, with some actual physics and some physical experiments that pretty much prove that the so-called laws of physics that were taught in school really aren't real, they don't really work, and they kind of fall apart when you get into them a little bit. And there's something much richer and much more beautiful, I guess, and much more elegant, a more elegant solution, and that's the theory of hyperdimensional physics.
You know, as we get into more and more of this tonight, Mike, we're going to uncover various aspects of why this is and how it works. But I want you to explain to us the best way you can hyperdimensional physics. Exactly what is it?
It's the notion or the observation that everything in this universe is connected to something higher. In other words, all the energy, all the planets, all the stars, all the living things in this universe are connected to higher spatial dimensions, that there are other spatial dimensions that we can't see, we can't really experience, I think, except probably when we die, we go to the fourth dimension. And, you know, these things have been modeled mathematically by topologists. People like Coxeter have modeled, I think, all the way up to 26 higher dimensions than this one. And the interesting thing about it is that although we can't really see these dimensions, what we can do is we can see and measure the effect that this energy has on our 3D universe. So it's basically, you know, the unified field theory of physics that they've been looking for forever, which basically just says, hey, you know, things are things don't have to be limited by the speed of light, and they don't have to be, you know, controlled by these so-called physical laws of motion, like Newton's laws of motion, that you can circumvent all these things, and you can control gravity, and you can do all kinds of incredible, amazing things here in three dimensions. It's just, you have to understand that the key to this whole thing is rotation, and everything in this universe, including you and me right now, are rotating. We're always constantly in motion.
Richard C. Hoagland, he believes in the theory we're about ready to talk about, the late Tom Van Flandern, and I believe you too, the exploded planet hypothesis.
Right.
Explain that, and how does that fit into this puzzle?
Well, the idea basically is that all the physics that we experience here on Earth is local. It's a localized phenomenon. In other words, what's really driving everything here on the Earth is the planets, all the combined energy of the stars, the sun, and the planets around us. In other words, something called angular momentum, which is basically spin energy, is really the underlying physical force that controls everything, including our conscious thinking and our physical reality. So what you have is a system where the planets were all sort of given birth to by the sun. In other words, the sun spewed the planets out kind of from her belly, you know, eons ago when the solar system formed, which is in contradiction to the standard theories that are out there right now. And that the spin energy of the sun was then reduced to the point where the sun could become moderate or moderated in its energy output, and you could have planets like the Earth that could be life-supporting form in this area around the sun. So what you've got a situation where all the planets are all connected in a system. And the problem with our system right now, with our solar system, is that there's a couple planets that used to be here that aren't here anymore. One of them, quite obviously, is in the orbit between Mars and Jupiter, where there apparently used to be a planet. Mm-hmm. Late Dr. Tom Van Flandern called it Planet V or Planet 5. And right now there's an asteroid belt there. And I remember when I was 8 or 9 years old looking at a book about space and astronomy, because I was always fascinated by this stuff as a kid, and there was this big belt of rocks there where there should be a planet, because each of the planets is about twice as far from the sun as the previous one. And there's a big belt of rocks there, and I went, well, it blew up. And then I started reading where everybody said, oh, no, it couldn't possibly have blown up, because we all know the planets don't blow up. But there's an incredible amount of evidence to support these missing planets, including Mars itself, which is absolutely devastated by, was absolutely devastated. It was a life-bearing world just like this one, but it was devastated by the destruction of Planet V. And, you know, those signatures are all over Mars. And we wrote about them, you know, a little bit in Dark Mission. And there's actually a paper on Richard's website on enterprisemission.com called the Mars Tidal Model, which basically proves, to my mind, beyond a doubt, that Mars is not a planet. It was once a moon of this other large super Earth, this Planet V that's no longer with us. So what happens is that when you lose a part of the solar system, you have less life energy, and the system itself becomes it gets out of harmony. You're in dissonance rather than resonance. I mean, every harmonic system is either in resonance or dissonance. And right now, our system's in dissonance. So what happens is that the Earth itself is tilted off of its vertical axis by about 23 degrees, and that makes us vulnerable to different waves of energy that are created when different planetary geometries, in other words, the orbits of the planets around the Earth, affect what goes on here. They affect physical instruments, things like pendulums. They swing backwards during eclipses. There's all kinds of examples that I give in the choice about how the planets actually affect physically what happens here on the Earth.